Have you ever sold out of your inventory in a few days? Today's guests did that when they were launching their embroidery kits to the wholesale market through Faire. Ricky Ng of Rick Rack had stocked up inventory. She'd prepped her Faire shop. She went live and everything was completely sold out in just a few days. While most people would see this as a good problem, it highlighted a lot of issues with Ricky's packaging, her product details, and even her fulfillment workflow. And she's here today to share her story with us, how she navigated that situation and came out ahead. Rick Rack Embroidery creates kits that are not only beautiful and unique, but also fun and simple to stitch, as well as embroidery-inspired gifts that she's recently expanded into. Ricky created embroidery art in college, but stopped stitching while working as an in-house artist for more than 18 years. Rick Rack combines the love of art making with the fun of embroidery to design kits that allow anyone to create their own special piece of art. On today's episode, Ricky is sharing why she felt like she was starting over when she moved from selling direct to consumer to selling wholesale. We talk about the challenges she faced and the solutions that she implemented when she sold out of all of her inventory in just a few days when launching wholesale. And we talk about why slow, steady, and intentional outsourcing have served Ricky well in growing her business. Today's episode is brought to you by our Labs coaching program. If you have ever wanted to pick my brain or get my eyes and ears on your business, our Labs coaching program is the place to do that. We have monthly group coaching calls and a wide range of on-demand training specifically for product-based business owners. You can learn more at proofToProduct.com/labs. One of our founding members, Cedric Victor of Special Orbit, said it best. He said, if you don't want to find out months or years down the line that there was a better way to run your business, get in Labs. We are constantly talking, figuring things out together, and sharing hard-won insights. Cedric, thank you so much for this. I could not agree with you more. Labs really is a special community that includes a wide range of product makers like Ricky, our guest today. So again, you can learn more at proofToProduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hi, Ricky. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It's so exciting to be here. I've been a very long time listener.
I am so happy to have you because you've been such an incredible contributor to our communities. And I just really admire the way you've built this business. And I'm excited to talk about it with you today and for you to share your story with everybody. So to kick this off, please tell us a bit about your business, what you sell, and how did you get started with this?
I mostly make embroidery kits, design them from scratch, and I make them super fun and simple and not some kind of project that's going to sit in the bottom of your drawer forever. It's a fun little low stakes project. So I take my knowledge of art. I was an in-house designer for an art publishing company for about 18 years. And so I was used to working in a little gray cubicle with no windows, with quotas, and they were all about quantity over quality. And I was dreaming of having my own business forever and getting out of that environment and having control over my own artwork.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, I love embroidery. I went to college. I have a master's degree in crafts. So I have embroidery experience and then I have art making experience. And so I thought, well, that's perfect. I'll put these two together and come up with these kit designs. You know, I probably should have thought about this. I think I've blocked it out. How many years I've been doing this?
You've been doing it a long time.
So long that I have no idea.
All good. Hey, you mentioned you were already working as a designer and stuff. Did you have overlap with building the business and having your day job? Or did you kind of go full board into the business?
Definitely. I had my twins. They're 9 years old now. And so I was working at the art publishing company when they were born, and pretty soon after had to change to part-time. And then I changed from part-time working at home. And I was just so miserable and so out of it. And I was just like, I convinced my husband, I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure if I could just make enough to pay the mortgage, then we'd be okay. And I think I can do this. I think I can make a success of this. You know, I've seen what's out there. And I was like, you know, there's definitely room for more embroidery makers out there.
Absolutely. Also, I want to tell our listeners, please go to the show notes right now and look up Ricky's links, because her work is gorgeous. And I think you'll be impressed and also intrigued by this whole craft area of the world that, like, I don't know. I remember when you and I talked before you started Labs and before you started Paper Camp, and I was like, oh, embroidery kits, cool. But like the vision in my head was like, I don't know, projects I had done with my grandmother when I was young or whatever. And your stuff is modern and cool and like just so engaging to anyone that picks it up. And the photos you have on your website and your socials and everything, like they're just so impressive.
Thank you. Well, all your paper people have been my inspiration. I see, you know, their beautiful artwork and their studios, and they have, you know, everything is organized and colorful and pretty. And I was like, yes, I want that too.
And you're doing it. You're doing it.
I'm trying.
You are. Okay, let's talk a little bit of business here. What sales channels do you primarily utilize for your business? Are you selling mostly direct to consumer or mostly wholesale?
Mostly wholesale. Yes.
Okay. If you had to put a percentage on it, what percentage of your business would you...
80 wholesale, 20 retail.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your experience getting into wholesale then. You previously mentioned to me that you felt like you had to restart your business in order to make your retail strategies work for wholesale. So in what way? In what way did you feel like you had to restart?
Well, for some reason, I have this thing where I want to be unique. And so when I first started doing these kits, I thought, oh, I'm going to put little tchotchkes, like I had little felt flowers and tassels and all these little add-ons, and everything was very in its own little packaging inside that little packaging, and it was very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when I was doing wholesale, it was after pandemic started, you know, craft kits are very popular, and I actually had someone helping me as a contractor. She was really great because she was not only my helper, but she was also my storage. She was like, I was on a Zoom thing with her, and I was mentioning, oh, I really need more storage space. She goes, well, I have a whole basement. And then she's like, and I can work for you too. I was like, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. So we did that for a while. But even with the two of us, when I first signed up to Fair, the first week we sold out, like completely. Wow. I thought I had stocked up on inventory, and it just poof, it was gone. And I was just like, oh no, I'm so embarrassed. I'm a huge phony or whatever. What am I going to do? And I looked it up and I saw that you could have like a 3 week vacation on Fair. So I immediately put it on vacation mode. And then we stocked up and stocked up and stocked up. And I opened it up again and again, poof, it was all gone. And I was like, okay, let's just rethink this. And so I discontinued some of the designs that were more intensive, and I worked on redoing my packaging. And I looked to see what other embroidery kit people were doing. And they were doing like a sort of a sandwich of paper bread and with all the good stuff in the middle inside a plastic bag. And I was like, oh, I can do that. So I designed the images of the packaging, and I was really happy with it. And I put it all together, and I go and I'm like taking product photos, and I went, oh no, this is terrible.
Because of the seller sleeve, it was.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody's going to buy that. Nobody, I don't want plastic in my packaging, and nobody, no retailers want that either. And I was like, what was I thinking? So then I went and I found help getting paper packaging, but then that almost did my business in because it was such a huge investment, money investment to get, you know, a pallet worth of professionally designed paper envelopes for the packaging was wild. It was very shocking. You know, I remember when I was first starting out, I thought, oh, I'm so legit. I can, you know, I'm going to get my floss from a distributor, and the minimum is like 450. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. And now, you know, I'm doing tens of thousands in the packaging order. And
yeah.
it was definitely a shock to the, you know, luckily I'm very financially conservative. So I had been squirreling away. I'm always trying to squirrel away as much as I can because, you know, when you get bigger, that these, to get your price right, you've got to do these larger quantities. That big order almost was the end of rickrack, or at least embroidery kits, because that was just shocking. To get back, to then get the money back up there again.
Just to recap here, you had a little bit too much complication in your product because you had so many bells and whistles that made it a more labor intensive product to package and then fulfill the orders. It took more time to get the orders out. It also, because in the starting days, like you said, cash flow is tight, you probably had less inventory on hand. And so then you sold out real quick, but that puts a panic in you too, because like, wait, I don't want to not have inventory available for folks. And it sounds like you handled it with a lot of grace, kind of taking things as they came. But it's a tough position to be in when you have this heightened demand for your products and you're having trouble keeping up with that demand. I'd like to talk about that situation a little bit more. How did you, aside from the change in packaging and tailor and like streamlining the product a little bit, how did you manage that pain point of catching up and feeling like you got to a good place where you had enough inventory in stock and you weren't constantly selling out? Or is that still a pain point for you?
No, it's not a pain point now. It was a slow process of fiddling with the numbers and making sure I could buy larger quantities to keep the price of the products down, and finding lots of shortcuts. Like, I bought electric scissors instead of rotary blading everything by hand. And I have someone doing my floss cards. I get that outsourced, and just lots and lots and lots of little tweaks all along the way of just coming up with more ideas to shave off time. And getting that paper envelopes were a life changer. Like, they are so much faster than that sandwich.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot.
Well, and it's one piece too, rather than having the cello and the front backer card and the back backer card. So it does streamline the process. I love that you talk about the small tweaks and how they made a big impact on your workflow and your cash flow and just like even probably to some extent your stress levels. I also think it's really important. The reason I continue to bring this up is strong businesses are built through slow growth. And it's that experimenting on a day-to-day basis of, oh, we can get this type of scissors that's going to speed up the process, or this packaging that's going to speed up the process. And I don't know, I feel like we're all still constantly evolving in that way. What's another type of evolution or experiment that you've run recently that's helped to streamline things for you?
I don't know about streamlining. It probably made things a lot worse. But, you know, when I was in paper camp, we got to the part where you were talking about having different products. And I had a little toddler hissy fit. I was like, no way, Katie. I just cannot do any more. I am just swamped. There's no way. And as I'm explaining that, I've gone through all these iterations of different processes and stuff. I actually enjoy that part when I have time to think about it. I enjoy with these little problem solves, and you know, it's like a little game of figuring things out. So I actually enjoy the process of coming up with new products now that I have a little bit more time. And so that's just been a big part of it right now. I have my regular release of kits, but now I'm trying to have a regular release of at least one new product a year. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I have lots of little gifty items, which really makes a big difference when I'm selling wholesale.
Yeah.
Because the kits just aren't for everybody, like every shop. They fit really well in fabrics and yarn stores, obviously, but they also fit in very artsy gift shops.
Yeah.
And then to have these other items that they can add to their orders is really important. So I've been having fun making embroidery stuff that, you know, just...
What are some of the other things that you've added to? Tell us what the gifty items are.
I have notebooks, and I have brand new zipper pouches. And I also make bookmarks that have the photography of the embroidery. So when you look at it, it looks like embroidery, but it's printed on paper.
That's cool.
And then again, I can't help myself. They have to have little tassels on them.
Of course.
Everything has to be a little over the top.
I assume too that expanding those product categories, and also I want to give you grace. I remember you saying, no way am I going to expand this. I'm just going to focus on my core product. Yeah. And I commend that. Like,
That's what I needed. And
that's what you needed. 100%. That's what you needed. And we're going through paper camp right now. And I'm telling certain folks, like, focus on your core product and then we can expand later. And so, you know, we're all in different seasons of business and we got to do what feels right. So don't beat yourself up over that. But going back to this diversification of your products, that also helps, like, as you started to mention, that helps to widen the stores that you're able to target and partner with. So who are you kind of reaching out to and trying to do more work with these days? What types of stores, I guess, is my question.
Well, unfortunately, I am not very good about my outreach and a lot of people find me on Fair. And I'm very thankful for that. And it's really exciting when I get a lot of bookstores and museum shops do really well. And of course, any of the fiber stores. I have a couple of new things in the works. I have a knitting and a crochet kit out now, but I have a quilt one coming out. Nobody can see it, but you can see it.
I like that. That's beautiful.
And then I have a couple other ideas up my sleeve. So I'm
that's so fun.
So yeah, trying to fit it to the audience is fun.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned that you... The word overwhelm, I think I heard in there a little bit. That's fair. A lot of folks listening to this are running one-person shows. And I'm curious, are you running this by yourself or do you still have the help that from the person you mentioned earlier? Or?
I don't have her anymore. But this summer, I was like, okay, last summer was wild. It was too stressful. I'm going to either spend the money on childcare this summer or spend the money on hiring someone. And I did hire someone. She worked 2 days a week. So she did the basics, like making the kits and all the little tedious stuff for me so that I could get the orders out. It is a goal of mine. I would love to figure out hiring. I just can't seem to wrap my head around hiring someone that is going to make enough money to pay basically for themselves, which I know is supposed to be the goal, but I can't
see the goal, but it doesn't always happen.
Can't seem to work that math.
I was just having this conversation with another one of our community members, and I know that I feel like it's when we hire it, it feels like a ball that just starts rolling and then we can't stop. But that first getting things going, like figuring out somebody to come in just 2 days a week to help with product packaging and even maybe fulfillment of orders and things like that, that gives you a taste of, okay, this frees me up to then do revenue generating work. And that's where the pay for themselves comes in, because you're then free to solicit more sales or to reach out to stores that haven't purchased in a while or whatever it might be. But I think getting that help in place will really help you. I know you have your two kiddos and school just started. Are you finding that you're changing your routines of how you're getting work done in those days?
Well, that's the thing. I paid her to be here in my place, basically.
I see.
But I have made some big investments in the last 2 years. I've been like investing in getting help that's not in-house. But 2 years ago, I had a brand company, I don't know what you call it. They are a social media branding company. And they... I had a contract with them for 3 months and they took beautiful pictures and they got me all set up for my Instagram and had me on a schedule and taught me some really good practices for coming up with ideas and scheduling ahead of time and that sort of stuff. And so for the last year, I was doing really good about doing it myself. And then the summer things kind of fell apart a little bit, but I'm going to get back on track.
No, you'll get back on track. It's the summers are tough, especially with kids around.
Yes. And then this last summer, I got a new website.
Exciting.
I had paid for help for that. And I also had help for my email because all that new email rules thing kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
The technological person. So I was like, all right, it's time to get some professional help for that. I'm not going to fool around with it.
I love that you're outsourcing specific projects too, because since we were talking about team and like having people in your space, that can be tough when you're just a one-person shop. Maybe you don't want people in your space or whatever it is. So you outsourcing these other pieces, like hiring somebody to help with social media and branding, your website, your emails, those are assets that you need in your business. And so, and you've also, it sounds like, you know, you went through a process of saying, okay, this is not my area of expertise. Right. Let me get somebody in here that can really... show me what needs to be done and work collaboratively with me to make this happen. And, you know, that is incredible type of help too. So that's really fantastic that you've utilized that. You know, knowing all that you know now about building and running a business, what advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time to when you were just starting out? What would you tell yourself?
Just don't be in a rush. Save lots of money because you just never know what expense is going to be around the corner, whether it's going to be taxes or an investment in a new product or something like that that comes up, and to just roll with it. You know, if your all your inventory gets sold out in a week, go in and change the your processing time, and you know, just do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
It's nobody will know, you know, unless you're on a podcast and tell everyone your secrets. And no one will you know, they're not looking that closely at you.
It's true. I mean, you heard me talk about that in paper camp and labs quite a bit of like, nobody knows what didn't happen, exactly. What you had planned that did not happen, unless we rat ourselves out, like you said. But I also think it's important to, like, I mean, for the purpose of this podcast specifically, it's important for us to talk about the highs and the lows of what we go through as an entrepreneur, because you're not the only one that mm-hmm. has had that happen where, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a double-edged sword, right? Like, you're so excited to have your products sell out so quickly. It shows that there's a demand for them, that people are excited about them. But also, to run out of inventory feels really stressful because that's now a problem that you need to address or fix or whatever, which you've done very well. But to your point, you can always extend your turnaround times and you can communicate with folks and just let them know what you're able to do. So I don't know. I really like how your approach is so like calm, cool, and collected of like, we'll figure this out, you know? Yeah.
Well, it becomes because I just don't have time to think. So I'm just going along and working in the margins and getting stuff done. And I've been following Paper Camp and Proof to Product for so long. I have all that knowledge sitting in the back of my head ready for when I have time to implement it. Doesn't mean I get all done, but I do know it all.
Yeah. You know? And you're doing it at the pace that you need exactly. to do. And that's what we want for you all. We want you to have the support and the information that when you're ready to move forward with something, you can confidently. Tell me, what are you most proud of in your business?
That I actually get to produce art that is my style and me and my personality, and I'm not trying to chase trends or anything like that.
Yeah. You've really stayed true to your brand and your aesthetic, and it's very consistent across all the products that you sell. I'm curious, what's next for you? What are you working on that you want to share with our audience?
I am trying with my new Shopify website, I am tackling how to add new products. So new products are coming out. New kits are coming out very soon, as soon as I can figure out how to put them on the Shopify. I just had the new zipper pouches come out, and that's all I could think
of. That's cool. Do the zipper pouches have embroidery on them, or is it a tool that somebody can
use? Of course they do.
Of course they do. I shouldn't even ask that question. Oh, they look so great. We're going to have to direct people to those in our show notes too. So, well, where can people find you online if they want to shop your new Shopify site or follow you on Instagram or elsewhere?
Yes, all the links are on the new Shopify site. So it's Rickrack, take the first C out, Rickrack, because my name is Ricky. So it's Riki. So I changed Rickrack around to fit.
I like it.
Brand.
I love it. Well, we'll include those in the show notes and also your social media so they can go follow you there. Ricky, thank you for coming on to share your story. I think it's really important that we hear from a wide range of folks selling a wide range of products and who are going through unique circumstances. And so thank you for coming on and telling your story with us today.
Thank you, Katie.
I really appreciate Ricky taking time to share her story today. The theme of slow, steady growth being a pathway to building a successful business, that continues to shine through when I talk to our community members here on the podcast or within our community. But it is always helpful to hear the unique stories, challenges, and the solutions that different business owners are experiencing. Ricky has seen such successes, but that wasn't without speed bumps. Selling out of your inventory within days of launching wholesale is both incredibly exciting, but also nerve-wracking. But she showed up and she handled it. She made adjustments to her product, her packaging, and she sought out help where she needed. It is all very inspiring. So Ricky, thank you again for coming on the show today. Be sure to visit the links in our show notes to connect with Ricky on social media and to see her embroidery kits and gifts up close. And if you found today's episode helpful and you want to be in community with Ricky and other brands who are focused on building life-first businesses, and we're doing this in our own way and at our own pace, check out our Labs coaching program. We have monthly group coaching calls, we have peer masterminds and roundtable discussions, plus an active community where you can get guidance from coaches and peers who are in the product trenches with you. Learn more at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thank you for listening until the end today. I will be back with a new episode next week. Have a good one.